Welcome to this session of the Ancestral Healing Summit. I'm Lisa Bunnies, your host, and my guest for this session is Desiree DeMars. Our topic today is sacred symbols and reading the bones, metaphors and magic of ancestral healing. Desiree DeMars is an artist, evolutionary coach, shamanic healer, and a BQH hypnotist. Through a spontaneous soul remembering of a lifetime as a medicine woman, the world of shamanism opened new understandings about her true nature and led to a divination process known as reading the bones that has become the foundation of her practice. And she's here with us today. We're going to have an amazing conversation. Desiree, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. It's my pleasure. Very excited.
Yeah. I'm so looking forward to this conversation because you and I have worked together in the past, and we'll talk about that a little later. But as you know, I'm fascinated by different methods of divination, especially one where we can communicate with our ancestors. So let's start out by talking about sort of the key elements and steps involved in this specific style of divination, and then we'll get into how the ancestors fit in.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. This specific lineage, which is an African, came through an African lineage, an African teacher. And my teacher was also, she is a Sangoma. So it's pretty simple in many ways. I mean, it's a collection of, I just call them curios, you know, objects. The objects could come anyway, you know, they could come to you through being gifted, being found, just having a desire. You know, that is part of your your mentorship when you're learning to do these bone readings. That is part of your own quest. You know, your personal quest is to start with a basic collection that has your ancestors along with other objects that would represent all kinds of things in life that we all have questions about, right? Love, prosperity, and then what's really incredible about it is as you gain, your collection grows. What I have found through the years is, you know, things break or things get lost. So pieces might get lost and found and then, or change or transform, or you, once you start working with these pieces, you know, they are like a living thing, you know, they're not just an object that's like, oh, that's something. And it's just this, it's, you know, I assign it a meaning. I think just like within the world of plant medicine or any kind of shamanic practice, you are having a relationship with these objects. So that's what's fascinating about them. And so they do become, you know, these are, you'll see shortly, we're going to show some of the objects later, is the bones are your ancestors. And then these pieces bring on meaning and of course have different meaning depending on their relationship on the spread once you throw them on what's called a casting cloth. So the pieces, you know, or the elements of doing a reading is pretty simple, and somebody could just have a handful of pieces, you know, and just ask questions. And, you know, because we know what's popular now as a divination is astrology or tarot cards. Those are divination processes too. And, you know, so it really could be anything. So I think that's the beauty of reading the bones, though, is that each practitioner's collection, you know, really becomes their own, and they have deep relationship with each of their pieces, and the meaning of the pieces evolve. And so it's pretty simple. I mean, like I said, you get your collection. Mine started out probably with half the amount I have. And then through the years of using them, I would get messages. It would say, you know, you really need to have one. The latest thing I had gotten was, you know, you really need a piece for all the main planets, because I would talk about astrology. And then it was like, well, why not have them in my collection? And then it just so happened. I didn't know what I would use for them, but that just came to me. So usually, you know, a practitioner will have some kind of a bag or a basket then to contain the pieces in. And then when you are reading for somebody, you're having them literally blow their energy into the pieces with their intention, and then the pieces are thrown onto the casting cloth, and then you start to read, you know, how they've fallen, how they're relating to each other. And also, which we'll probably talk about later too, is we threw the bones before we started, and you know, right off the bat, you'll notice odd things will start to happen the way that they're, you know, in relationship to each other on the cloth. So that's the basics really of it. That's pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what, why don't you go ahead and tilt your camera down. Let's show everybody what, as you mentioned, you went ahead and cast the items before we started to save a little time. Let's see what it looks like, and maybe explain to our viewers what we're talking about here.
I'd be happy to. So, yeah. So what you're looking at too, and I would imagine as the viewer, so like Lisa or the client, you know, you'd be sitting here directly across from me and I'm here. And so we're also looking at kind of the relationship to where certain pieces have ended up closer to you versus me. And then kind of the shape or the pattern that the pieces land in. And then, like I was pointing out earlier, that seems very interesting that this piece that represents our spiritual journey here is like standing straight up on end, like attention, you know, I was thinking that was pretty fascinating. And then as you can see, there are other bones, but most of the bones in my collection represent the ancestors. And the ones that have red are the maternal, or the your mother's lineage, and the father's lineage is the blue, and that's the paternal. So we have those, and then there are some bones that signify other kinds of more of an like initiatory type of experiences. And I was pointing out to Lisa to begin with, I thought this was very significant, and she kind of confirmed that it was for her, was that I put a little turtle in before we started just to kind of signify, you know, this important event in itself, and wanted to see where it would land. And it landed right next to the ancestor that is the mother, or our mother, Lisa's mother, my mother, or you, the viewer, your mother, you're looking at it. And it could represent your mother. And I think it seems incredible to me, Lisa, that we are talking now, what, in a time when there's just huge earth changes, we could even be saying, wow, this is something incredible, a transformation that's happening to the earth herself. And so we could also look at that in the bigger picture of things, aside from just being the person that we might have known.
I thought this was particularly interesting because you didn't know this before we started, but I had some ancestral healing work done with Christina Pratt, who's also in the summit. And while she was in this process, she brought back a spirit animal for me, and it was a turtle. So, yeah. And throughout many of these summits, people who watch these, who know who I am and what I'm doing and all that, they know that I'm working very closely with my mother, who passed a few years ago. We had a lot of relationship healing that needed to be done. And I'm also focusing very, very strongly on healing her father's side of the family. In fact, I'm writing a book about this disaster that killed a number of her descendants. And as we speak, I am writing the climactic, you know, the ending of the book where everything just sort of piles on. So when you pointed out that my mother's side of the family, the ancestors, is just big pile of pieces, that's really interesting to me.
Okay. I am so glad you share that and that we did it, because this is a perfect example of, you know, I almost feel really emotional talking about it, because you just can't make this stuff up. This is what I've realized after years of doing this, is that, you know, to think that I could possibly lay anything out or, you know, or figure something out ahead of time for somebody else, which often I know nothing about, which is usually the best way to go into it. The less you know, the better, than, you know, you just receive information that is spontaneous or obvious rather than what you've got kind of predetermined in your mind. So I love that you said that, because I did feel that was very unusual. It's like, wow, why? And it's like, it is your mother's lineage that is laying directly across that mound of other pieces. So it's telling me there is something here you know, something big. It's something big. It's, or it's something complex. So that's another thing to understand about the readings themselves, is that it can be very simple. You can just hone in and say, well, what about, you know, this part of my life or that part, or you have a question, or maybe you're questioning something like a move, something like that, and you want to be specific, you can do that. And yet, if, you know, there's so many different layers you could be looking at and look at the same event or same inquiry on many different levels and dimensions, which I love. So this is, again, why it's also fascinating to me. And I think I had mentioned to you in some of the material I'd sent earlier, is that it's like we're time travelers. So when you're doing this kind of, or having this kind of experience, a divination really is allowing us to travel in multiple dimensions all at once, because we could be looking at the past, we could be looking at the present, and we can be talking about the future. And it's all here kind of in, I sometimes like call, love to call it like the blueprint, you know, or it's like the map. It's like the, here's the roadmap. And we're getting guidance as we travel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's, I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about this today, but I think this would be a good time, because you, as I mentioned, you and I have worked together. It was maybe 9 months ago. The first time that we set up an appointment, I was unable to complete our session because I had a really weird household emergency where there was water springing up through the foundation of the house. And it was just so strange. And I was so panicked that I wasn't able to complete our session. So we rescheduled. And in the meantime, we, you know, we're mutual friends with Sandra Ingerman. And Sandra was also having, I don't want to, you know, tell her personal stuff, but she was having a similar story playing out in her house. So she did a journey and she came back with some suggestions for me. And in the meantime, I traveled to Utah where this disaster happened. I'd already had this trip scheduled. And when I came back and I had done this ritual that Sandra had suggested, you and I sat down and actually did the session. And it was mind-blowing, the information that came back, that, you know, it was too soon for me to do it when we first tried to schedule it. And this weird thing that was happening in my house was connected to the whole storyline. How often does something like that happen?
Well, I think more often than you'd think. You know, you think, no, at the, I don't know, that that's just really odd, but, you know, but in some are more subtle, you know, that was pretty potent and very powerful. And I think if I recall, you know, we started the reading and we just got into it a few minutes. And then you had said, you know, I'm really distracted because I've got this huge thing happening. And then when I did really look at the larger picture, what I noticed was the most, well, which this is interesting because it's here again. One of the most prominent pieces that was almost right center was the element of water. So, and here it is again, which is pretty amazing. It's right here next to you. This time, I believe that time it was turned in the opposite direction. This time it's like facing with an openness, which is so interesting, really open. So I'm getting chills just saying that because, yeah, I think before it was facing down, where it was more of an internal experience. That's how I can read those kinds of, that kind of information from a piece. Sometimes when it's turned upward, it's like things are flowing and we are receptive. And it's not negative on the other side per se, but it's just that maybe it's more internal. Things are not moving. And so I would say that would reflect kind of what I understood from your experience. It was like something very deep and internal that was going on at that time for you. And the details were still yet to be understood. And so, yeah, I think too, the reading, you know, in directing it towards your question of like, is that unusual? That the reading can also be, so much of it can depend on how open is the person, you know, how much do they want to know, how much are they willing to hear, because, you know, almost the information is kind of limitless. And then once you start to make connections and relationships, you can get even more and more layers. But if somebody's not really ready, or they don't really feel, or, you know, who knows, whatever is going on for them. And then personally, it just feels very challenging to receive some of this information, then, you know, then it's almost not appropriate to go into, you know, some of the details. You can tell them so much and just know maybe they can only digest so much at that time or integrate so much. But you obviously, I mean, I know you've had a lot of experience, and I do remember now you talking about in the past and other summits about what an important event this was and how you were tracking your ancestral lineage, which is, you know, fascinating. So of course, I think, you know, you would be seeing through eyes that would be very different maybe from somebody who was just doing this for the first time and not sure what they're even looking for. You know?
Right. Right. That's actually a really important point. I'm glad you brought that up. So somebody who's never done this before, because when you and I first sat, I had not worked with anybody who reads the bones. So it was really fascinating to me to watch how you interpreted what each piece means. So let's talk about that a bit. Now, you assign each piece a general meaning. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Like I said, there's a, you know, the pieces, like when I was pointing out, like, this is, you know, there's a, what would I say? Like kind of a standard, you know, like, or a basic, there would be a basic collection that you would have, and you would want to have, you know, mother, father, and then the closest relatives, and then the great ones and the ancient ones. And so those in my collection are different shells. And so I don't know, I wouldn't say every person would have those, but in my lineage, that's like the foundation of your collection is your ancestors. And then from there, there are some basics that, you know, we kind of all go through, I think, in just being a human, right? Like the initiations of growing up, of for women, you know, it would be their cycle. And so the some of the pieces represent those kind of activities or those kinds of events in our life. And so those would be pretty basic in general, you know. And then you also have pieces that, you know, like if it's like weaving a story together. So in order to tell a story, you also need pieces or objects that are going to give you either direction or tell you maybe elements of something, because we all know that if you have like an emotion, and let's say it's anger, that's going to be more fiery than something like if you're feeling sorrow and it's that's watery. So they can be read different ways like that. So I have pieces that are the elements. And then, like I mentioned earlier, I have a piece for the planets, because that tends to come up. And especially for people who follow astrology, you know, that could be very significant for them. And then some of the other pieces just have meanings that are purely directional, like to give me guidance, like to how something is relating to another piece. And, or for like, I have timekeepers, I call them, they're just shells, but they, depending on which way they're turned up or down and how far apart they are, they tell me kind of a distance. So it's almost like there are certain objects and can be like measuring devices for you too. And that's something basic, which most people have. And then, you know, what makes it unique maybe is, what would I say be unique is that some pieces that have come to me or that I get a message from once I start working with my other pieces, I might hear a message and it say, you know, you really need a piece for something about, you know, clearing or cleansing or a particular experience that people have often and that it comes up. And then so I would listen to that and then keep, you know, my heart open to receiving a piece or finding a piece. And then almost always it shows up some way. Yeah.
This is all so fascinating. I love this kind of stuff. And I know that right now we're talking about the sort of the metaphysical, the intuitive side of this, but there's sort of a scientific connection, isn't there, with new understandings in neuroscience. How could this information benefit or guide us in a divination?
Yeah, I love that question, Lisa, because that is something that's, you know, fascinating about it to me, other, you know, than just the beauty of it. I mean, for one thing, just the beauty of the objects and their symbology is, really speaks to my heart. But then the science of it is fascinating, because now with, of course, and I know you know others, I have trained with other people and know other healers in the community that are mediums and medical intuitives. And, you know, we're all, I think, coming to this same awareness or an opening of consciousness to what science is finding now is that, you know, or at least they're being able to prove in a more physical way that all of this, everything is energy and it's electromagnetic. And I know in my coaching, what it, we use this term called the superconscious. So this is what we're really working with. When even, you know, I think this is what you kind of make the shift when you prepare to do a reading. You're starting to work with what we understand about the brain. You know, the brain is actually this, you know, this field of energy. When we're tapping into our superconscious, we're tapping into this information. We're tapping into light, a light language, or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it, but it's an electromagnetic field of information. And so the more we attune ourselves to that, you know, our brain is able to understand it just like it can understand a language, and we can start speaking, or that's why I believe these pieces can speak to us. So, you know, I mean, that's the science of it. You know, we might just feel it in our heart, but the science of it is now we know is showing us that this is really happening. And there are discoveries, I think, as you know, with things like this soul phone coming out, and that is that we'll be able to literally see this in action, right? Like there is something behind this, just this being a frequency or just it being a little blip of light. There is some kind of information that is essential, I believe, to actually our evolution. You know, this is what it feels like to me. Yeah. That we are evolving. And so I think also that this is how it ties into ancestral healing, because, you know, when we're talking about our ancestors and our timelines, and there's no division of time or space as we're just connecting to the pure information, that to me is just fascinating, that we could be working with, you know, ancestors who've passed, and knowing that in the present time, like what something that you're doing, you're writing, you're researching, you're really looking into all these different factors that happened along your ancestral timeline. And it's culminating now through you and your desire to make a change in the future. You are literally affecting your future ancestors, generations. Or I have to say this too, which is a beautiful thing. I know during COVID, one of the things I decided to do was do a little bit deeper dive in my own ancestral healing and working with a group of people that were all doing that. And somebody made a statement, I don't remember who it was, but they said, you know, it's really ancestral healing. It's really like the journey that we are taking to understanding how to become an ancestor ourselves. And I don't know, I get chills when I say that, because it's just, to me, that is so powerful. It's like, yes, what could be more potent than to truly understand who we are as a soul, and then infuse that with focus and consciousness, so that we know that the magic of it, so to speak, is that we can affect not only our present, but we can affect our future. And then so doing, we're actually healing our entire family line, you know. So just the power of that kind of, you know, really, you know, makes really wells up in me and makes me feel really amazed and, you know, grateful to be doing this kind of work with people.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that those of us who know about this, it's almost our responsibility to do it, because we know that we can clear up the gunk for our grandchildren and their children, et cetera. And in doing that, with so many of us doing this work, it's also really having a ripple effect outward into the world. It's not just our lineage that we're working with, that we're healing, is that because now they're going to behave better and their descendants will behave better. And eventually, you know, if we can make it through this crazy time, we will have a brighter future. So yes, I'm absolutely in agreement with that. Now, let me ask you, because as I said, I've had experience with this a couple times, and the first time, major distractions, and I was completely unable to really be present and you know, grok the things that you were telling me before we, you know, decided to reschedule. So when somebody has a reading like this, especially if they're fairly new to this, and it's sort of hard to understand how this works, the information that is offered to them, how do you actually ground the insights and understandings that you receive through a divination? How do you really just sort of let them sink in without questioning too much? What?
I love that question, Lisa. That's powerful because, yeah, that to me too is one of the key aspects of the reading. It's one thing to get information. And of course, we could just get all kinds of information and we can just keep piling up more and more information. And or, you know, I've had that happen too, where people just keep getting more and more readings. And so then more and more information. But if it's not grounded into your being in some way or in a functional way in your life, it really, you're not really gaining the power that is in that information, because you're not taking any action, so to speak. And I don't mean, you know, action also I want to clarify, does not mean like, you know, you get some information from the reading, and it's like, wow, now I have to go out there and boom, 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 you know, I don't know, you know, make something happen. Because action also can be a deeply feminine experience. It could be, what about, you know, looking at something like, well, I don't take care of myself very well. Or maybe that's something from your ancestry that you could say, wow, maybe there were women and they didn't really ever express themselves, who they truly were creatively. And so then you need to do something in your life to balance that out or heal it, which is more creative, which would be maybe more passive. It would not be as a much of a masculine kind of action to take. So action can be both masculine and feminine. And what I find I will do sometimes right during a reading is have them have a literally like a shamanic experience where I have them just get quiet and we do a little bit of time travel to an ancestor, especially if one ancestor is really coming up strongly and they can't quite understand like why this is happening or how it's connected. And then that allows them to actually have an opportunity to have a memory, you know, their own memory of something. And once they can tap into a memory, and we know actually this is what the superconscious mind, you know, back to the neurosciences, the superconscious is what works with memory. We know that when brain synapses are forming and we have that opportunity before a new one is actually making this connection, that is the key times. You know, so when someone is there and they're having an experience or a memory of something maybe that was challenging or painful, and they want to make a transition or a change or understand it or see it differently from a different perspective, that moment can be really key to have that awareness there right when the brain is saying, oh, you know, this experience from the past was very traumatic, but now I'm looking at it from a different perspective and I can see where the learning was or where the power was. And it's actually, in scientific terms, this is called the window of reconsolidation, which is fascinating. So when, you know, when the synapses come together, that's called consolidation. They come and they connect. So I feel like when we're doing shamanic work, even during a reading, we're really, you can take, you know, really take advantage of this great opportunity to, you know, understand what is going on in someone's brain at that time when they're trying to figure this out, and then they're seeing it from a new perspective. You can literally help them ground that in a more practical way that you say, well, you know, now you are able to see this from a new vantage point and then make different choices in your life about how you want to interact, you know, in these kinds of situations. And then the other thing I'll often do is at the very end of the session, I will use a tapping technique that I like. It's a very simple one. In fact, I learned it through working with an EMDR therapist many years ago. And she taught it to children and she called it the butterfly hug, but it's a tapping exercise to just ground you into your body. And I just kind of walk them through, you know, a verbal exercise of how they can take that information, ground it literally into their body. So again, you have like a nervous system signal saying to you, okay, you know, this is new information, and now we're going to integrate it into our reality in a very practical way.
Well, one of the reasons that I really I love divination is that it's one of those, first of all, you learn to trust, because when you first start this, learning how to do this, you question yourself a lot and you wonder, oh, I'm just making this up, or, oh, this can't be real. But I think when you have enough really powerful hits where there's no denying, there's something to this. I think that this kind of work really helps you to really sort of be in your own skin, as you mentioned, be present and learn to trust that messages really are coming through. Do you agree that that's a good reason to do divination?
Yes. You know, I feel like that's really a fundamental aspect of it when you're first starting. Obviously, that's where the practice of just doing it develops that within you, right? To trust your intuition. And, you know, I think intuition kind of gets a bad rap in a way. You know, if people are talking about intuition and they think that that means it's a lesser, you know, or a kind of a not as potent way to receive something. But when in truth, it's like if we're all acknowledging that we're mastering our life, or that, you know, that we are learning to have, you know, what would you, I don't, you know, if we were to be saying, you know, we are the ones creating, or we are co-creating our life, then imagination really is, it's so much more powerful than we give it credit for, you know. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, I know many of us growing up get the message of like, oh, just stop that. You're just making that up, or you're just imagining this, and it's not true. And yet imagination is really, what could be more powerful than that? That you actually are creating something. And then what I have found through years of doing, whether it's this or shamanic work or any of the coaching work that I do, is that once we make something up, if it feels true, if it really resonates with us and we feel aligned with it, then we will, it manifests. It will manifest in some way, shape, or form. So what could be more powerful than that? Than, you know, okay, I made it up. But isn't that kind of what so many dreams are about, right? That it was just a vision, or it was just our imagination, and it was just maybe our intuition that told us something. But if we trust it, follow it, and really focus on it, then we give it power, we give it strength, and then it can grow. You know, then it's kind of unstoppable, really, once we understand, you know, the power behind that actually being an action too, I think, you know, is to imagine, you know, just let your imagination run wild, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to make sure before I forget that I mention your website in case people would like to work with you, learn more about you. It's simply DesireeDeMars.com. Mm-hmm. What will people find if they pop over to your website?
Yeah, my website, well, you'll find information about the readings, about ancestral healing, about my shamanic work. I also have a page about my coaching. I just call it evolutionary coaching. It's a kind of a combination that I've woven things together, obviously, through the years. And this whole, you know, my love for the brain, the science of the brain, discoveries that we're making now. And then also my sacred art. I do make art pieces for ceremony, rattles, amulets, or custom pieces that people want for ceremony, for groups, or for personal healing. You can find that there. And also information about my hypnotherapy, which is beyond quantum healing. So again, it's a, you know, it does weave in a lot of traditional hypnotherapy ideas and processes, but the beyond quantum aspect is that there's a lot of room for past life regression. And if anybody wants to explore that more, really understanding past lives, or even just more expanded realities, understanding of more of the cosmic kind of influences and worlds that are out there, and how we are literally being, you know, guided, connected, and affected by those aspects all the time.
All right. Wow. Well, I could keep you on the line forever. I know. But I want to make sure, though, before we wrap this up, that is there anything that I've forgotten to ask you about, or that is coming to mind right now that you want to make sure that we talk about?
Well, I think we really covered all the bases, the basics. It's just something I found, if people are interested, that's something I will be offering soon too on my website, is if people want to do training. I do mentorships. I offer mentorships if somebody's interested in mentoring with this particular style of readings, of divination work. Because as you know, we talked about earlier that there's so many different styles and ways of approaching it. Some use just bones. Some people use completely only one type of object. One of the first exposures I had to it was through Ifa, another African system, but I had a couple of clients who were a Babalao and a priestess. And so I naturally, you know, was fascinated by what they did, and then went through a lot of initiations through the years of having them as clients of mine and learning. And their tools are very simple and very different. Their divination is done either with these nuts, these sacred nuts, or a chain, which is really fascinating. They use a chain that has coconut shells, pieces of coconut shell attached to them. And the Babalao, or the reader, the shaman, would be, as you're asking the question, he's holding that question too. He shakes the chain and then he tosses it onto a cloth. And it's read more like, I guess I could say, like how maybe the I Ching would be, right? He's reading all these different configurations of which ones are turned up and down and how many there are and how many, which ways they've landed. So those are called more of a signature. It's like a divination signature, which is information that he's, you know, calculating, understanding, you know, and from his experience and the way it lands on his cloth. So I just, you know, I encourage people, if they're interested in any way, shape, or form of learning more about divination, that there's so many different, you know, styles and approaches, and you could even be playing with it for yourself as simple as, you know, maybe you have five small objects that you absolutely love and you start to work with them and ask them and start having a relationship with them. And the next thing you know, you probably will find that you'll have a whole collection, or it will lead you in a direction that will surprise you, you know, and just kind of, you know, just warm your heart and open incredible doors in your life. So I encourage anybody that's interested in divination, you know, to either reach out to me, you know, look into other styles, because there's so many, and, you know, you could just go on endlessly exploring, you know, different ways to dive in. So.
Right. Right. Well, I hate to put you on the spot, but I keep getting this nudge. Ask her, you know, as we mentioned, I blew into the basket, and you tossed the items. Is there a message on the cloth for our viewers?
Okay. Do you want me to show the pieces and see?
Sure.
Again? Okay. So if I was looking again, let's see. Other than what I said, that I really do feel this, that was significant about the mother, and this is no accident. I think here's the element of air. So air, and then the shaman. Okay, here, one of the key things I look for, I have a lock and a key in the collection. Here's the lock, here's the key. Very interesting that they're directly across from each other. So the lock can mean, you know, not that something, it could just mean something's kind of hidden from sight, or just not really obvious to us. And this is Venus. So this is interesting. So maybe if people are feeling like, oh, and this is no accident, here's Saturn. So, you know, we know everybody's going through, you know, huge transitions right now. And some of the biggest transitions, oh, and this is something I did want to say, which was amazing to me, is that you know, bones, look at what's happening. If you look at what's going on in the medical industry with bones, you know, bones signifying our structure. Here is Saturn saying that this old structure, you know, the old way, and this is a, like our spiritual cycle here, we're kind of at a fork in the road. So I would say the message here is really interesting. People are definitely our bones are being affected by these earth changes too, because many of us are getting demineralized. So literally our physical structures are being affected. And here's the hand, the physical hand on Saturn. We also have Eagle Condor looking out and looking outward, you know, along these lines of, okay, here we are at a critical time, a fork in the road in our evolution. And one thing I would say that's important too, is that we have the star here, which is our star nations. We really do need to be paying attention to the cosmos and the cosmic information and influences that's happening right now, because it's really guiding us. And then I would say the key to all of that is looking at those issues. Here's our blueprint. So if we're looking at the audience or us, you know, as humans, if we're saying, wow, what is the key here in this blueprint of our life? It's touching this beautiful sacred corn kernel, which to me is amazing. I mean, here the blueprint and corn being like that sustenance of life, right? The corn. And in many, you know, many cultures, it was sacred, right? To have the cornmeal or the blessing of having corn, the crop of corn. And then I can't help myself but say also, this is really interesting to me too, Lisa, is that here is the ancestor that is the father. So, you know, we said how significant mother seemed to pop up around what these earth changes and that. And here is father, and he is resting on top of the mind, which is about having a balance of mind. And that to me seems so critical now too, that we are all, I believe, you know, trying to balance out that masculine and feminine within us and also, you know, in our world so that we can like move forward, you know, into having a more balanced, more peaceful, more loving, compassionate world that we're all walking in.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me put you on the spot here. I think that was a beautiful message. And I just want to thank you again for spending some time with us. Your work is so interesting and you're so fun to be with. So thank you, Desiree, for being with us today.
Thank you. My absolute pleasure, Lisa. Anytime.
All right. I want to remind everyone I've been talking with Desiree DeMars, and I want to thank everyone for joining us. I hope you enjoyed this conversation in the Ancestral Healing Summit.